Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. Somebody has their audio on. There we go. Welcome, everybody, to the show. And I'm not hearing myself. Hold on one second here. Is everybody, can you guys hear me through the headphones?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to worry about it right now. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, welcome to the show. We have a great one for you tonight. I have in studio Hiro Miura, and he was originally the...
Something's going on with the mics.
Nothing.
Can you hear okay?
Are you guys hearing me?
Hey, this one is working.
I'm not hearing this one.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Did you do something on the trim on the top? Number one?
It's because somebody turned the phantom off. Okay, there we go. All right, start again. It happens live radio. Welcome, everybody. My guest is Hiro Miura, and he was originally the founder of Exotic Guitars, but he's now set up his own company, and he's making his own instruments. The website is miuraguitars.com. And I hope I'm saying that correctly, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. But these are some, we're going to feature the basses tonight. He does make guitars, and also, too, he makes some interesting pedals. And here's one of them I'm going to flash at you right now. This is the compressor limiter. And then here he has, which we're using right now, so it's kind of wired up. It's upside down, but this is a DI box, so, and preamp for bass or guitar. Does it matter?
Bass.
For bass. So this is specifically for bass. And we got a bunch of people in here tonight. Doug is with me today. Gary Rudenko, who helped put this together from the Amp Shop Bass Exchange, if you can see my t-shirt. And also we have Nathan Allison over there, who's, I guess, I'm going to call you Artist Relations for Miura Guitars. And next to him is bassist Anthony Crawford. And I was listening to him warm up, and he's awesome. And the next person here playing bass, Uri Kleinman, and another amazing bass player. Then here's Hiro and his lovely daughter, Amy. So we're all here. We got a big bunch. So what I want to do first is just briefly... you had, after you setting up your new company, what I want to know is what you learned and where you took your instruments after Exotic. In other words, you were building these, you started Exotic in 1995, if I'm correct. So when, you know, from 95 to now, you must have learned and discovered new things. So what I want to understand is the progression, the progress from from then to now, what you've done to the bases, what you consider like improvements, or you know what I'm saying? Do you understand? I know that's a lot to say.
I started 1995. Mm-hmm. At the time, is my friend teaching me making a bass. And at the time, I just making a bass. But started exotic long time for maybe 2000 to 2015. I work many people inside of the exotic. At the time that we met many professional musicians, so they feel really different, really different. So, okay, I understand. But after the exotic, I met Anthony or another many player, and they feel much different for the each bass by condition. So, too much different now. It's exotic, and now it's my fretwork. Yeah. So many six strings and five strings is a player playing a high fret, high position. But long scale is long, so sometimes it's a buzz. But too much with sanding here, no attack. So very difficult for the fretting work. Yeah. So much, maybe everybody thinking not so big different, but much different for the sound, for the fretting, leveling work.
Now, are the basses constant radius or are they progressive radius? In other words, is it like more of a curve here and then it flattens out as it goes down?
It's a both way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm using a constant, same things.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the radius of the fretboard is constant.
Yeah, but the fret leveling is a little different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're achieving it another way. Pull the bass up for a second. What I want to show to the camera, if you can. So you can see here, you can see the access. So there's a deep cutaway. And then also, too, there's very little heel. Notice here, it's very, it's not like a big, you know, chunk like on a conventional base of wood here bolted on. It makes it smoother. And we'll see how our Anthony and Uri, you know, you can see it on their base. Well, his is more the traditional. Go ahead and flip it to the back. You can see it's a squared off bolt where it's bolted on. It's squared off in the neck, but it's still a deep cutaway. But these basses especially, which I think is helpful because if you watch Uri right now, how he's accessing those high frets.
Yeah,
and then also, too, that's a five string. So when he needs to reach up to the top, the fact that he has that accessibility makes it easier because that's a difficult fingering to hit that low B string up from in the high register. So like it's his accessing of it is really not that difficult. And I've played five strings and six strings. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get up there, you know. I'm not as agile as these guys, but even then, just trying to hit the note right and hit it right, it's a little hard. But I noticed that in the way the bass is, it's really easy access to the upper register. And then this one's a fretless, but with these other ones, so by adjusting the frets, I noticed too, we'll play, actually, Anthony, you can go ahead and just go and hit some of the higher notes. Listen to there's no dead spots.
It's really even.
Yeah.
So the tone is
even. Now is the compressor on right now?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Turn it off for a minute and let him play. It's almost imperceptible. I mean, it's got plenty of sustain. more meaning. And we'll get into the compressor in a minute. Now, real quick, what's the woods on this, and what are you using pickup wise on this one?
Body is ash.
Ash?
Yeah, and the pickup is Aguilar.
Aguilar.
Yeah, okay. Super single. It's a little white one.
So it's kind of a jazz type of setup,
yes.
Would you say?
Yes.
Electronic system?
It's Aguilar. Yeah.
It's Aguilar electronics in
OBP3.
It. And then the rosewood fretboard, or is that a...
Yes.
And then maple?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a standard.
So it's kind of, it's the standard what we would, for but, like a jazz.
I don't like jazz bass pickups.
Mm-hmm.
This one is, this size is, if somebody doesn't like it, change the many other brand like this size.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a little, that's wound a little bigger. It's almost like a P90 in a way. It's kind of a bigger pickup. Now, who makes that bridge? Is that?
It's a hip shot.
Hip shot.
Yeah.
So what about these? Are these all hip shots?
This one is a badass.
Badass.
Okay. And this one?
Hip shot.
Hip shot.
Yeah.
So, and then is that brass or is that stain?
It's a brass.
Brass.
Yeah.
So you're using brass on there, so so a little more. And what type of nut is this? Is this anything?
This is just a bone.
Bone. It is bone.
Yeah.
What about that one?
This is same. But
bone.
This one is a six strings. So we try to buy a pet shop for the bone for the dog.
Right.
I cut
pet
it.
Shop. Dog bone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. No, the woods. Now, well, since we're talking about that right now, let's just go down the line. This one that Woody is playing right now, what's the woods on this one?
No, this one is Cupid maple.
Okay.
Yeah, and ash back.
Ash and maple top, ash back.
Yeah.
And then what is that? Bird's eye maple fret?
Yes.
The neck and fretboard. That's beautiful too. It's hard to see it on camera, but the bird's eye on that is really, really nice. And then what about this one?
This one is ash and maple, frame maple, and maple neck and ebony.
Ebony.
Fingerboard. Yeah.
Okay. And then what pickups are on this one?
This one is a Bartolini.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Bartolini.
Bartolini, yeah.
And then what's the electronics?
Electronics is our Miura.
It's yours. It's your electronics.
Like same one.
And what about it's this one? It's the same one that's in the mic pre. Mm.
Okay.
Very cool. And then what's in this one?
Oh, this one is Aguilar.
Aguilar. And same, your preamp in that?
No, Aguilar preamp.
Aguilar preamp in that one. Okay. So basically you can custom build anything you want. He'll put whatever pickups or whatever configuration you want in it. So... which is great, and it's just you can make it's really a custom setup. Let's go ahead and try. Well, let's continue with you. I'll give that bass a good play so people can understand, you know, some of the styles, and so they get an idea of what you're doing.
Another thing about this bass, probably didn't say, but the preamp. It's very powerful. Like, you really don't even need to do a lot. Like, if you run, you know, like a head. So, like, it's like, you know.
Now, the output of that preamp, will it drive line level? Could I plug that directly in the board line level?
Oh.
You need to use the preamp.
This one?
I mean, it's the same circuit.
But if you don't use the DI bars, if you don't use the DI bars, it overloads in the mix board. You need to use some kind of DI.
Oh, okay, so it could break it up. Okay.
Correct.
Because there's plenty of output of that. That thing's got plenty of
overload in the signal.
Yeah. No, it's real responsive. I mean, you're getting a lot of...
And I'm not even playing hard.
Right.
I'm not even playing hard.
No, but even with the slight compression, it's really responsive. I mean, you're getting the transients. It really snaps really well.
Mm-hmm.
And the do me a favor, since that's a four string, just play some chords in harmonics and stuff so they understand. It's true. It's clean. All the notes are clean. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead and go to the other bass, Woody. I'm going to mute you for a minute. And where is it? So you can go ahead and unplug. So this is a five string, and this is all Aguilar electronics in this one, right? Okay. So let's go ahead and listen to this guy a little bit. Now we have the compressor in, right?
Yeah.
All right, kick it out and let's just hear it raw. I mean, that's pretty consistent. I mean, and we'll get into the compressor in a minute, but the thing is that the bass already has the sustain and there's plenty of tone in it. It's not dying. So, I mean, all the compressor, the way he has it set up, it's just giving it a little more gain and fattening a little bit, but yeah. It's there. You don't really, it's not.
I would say that it affects the way that you approach it. Is like your fingers are reacting to a sound of a compressor. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's affecting the way that you play, in a way.
Well, I noticed. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Normally, when we kick the compression off, I could hear the overtones more mm-hmm. when you're playing.
Yeah. Also, play around with the pickups a little bit.
Now, what's that control that you're changing? Because I could hear it.
This is basically to move it up to the. Bridge.
Pickup. It's a mixer between the two.
This is them together, and usually I like to test the overtones of the bass by taking it to the back one because then you can hear it more clearly. Usually it's more punchy and mid-rangey. With the front one. It's very nice. And of course the tone.
Now, are you rolling off the tone or is that... That's it, all the way open?
Yeah. Still very clear.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the difference in the two pickups are just... It's got a really good full sound. Yeah. Now... I was reading a little bit. Let's go through the models real quick, and then we'll actually go ahead and hand him the fretless so we can play that one, too. I'm going to mute you for a little bit. But what I want to do is you have three models, the MBR, the MB1, and the MB2, which I think that's the MB2, right, Anthony, yeah. that you're yeah. playing? That's the one that's more like the old style.
Yeah.
So what's go through the difference between the MBR and the MB1. What's the difference?
The, MB1, it's a maybe you can see the like.
That's an MB1.
Yeah, it's a jazz bass body shape. So jazz bass player changes these five strings, maybe not so much feel not different, and 24 fret. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's made to play like a traditional bass, so it feels like if you were playing a Fender or yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, so easy to change.
Yeah.
And MBR is a totally our original design.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think in a more better hold, balance.
Different body?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the body is very thin.
Mm-hmm. And they're well, this one's fretless, but all of them are 24 fret, right?
Yeah.
24 fret. Mm-hmm. Now, I saw something on the website, which is www.miuraguitars.com, that you use a combination of, on the neck, it said it had a combination of graphite and wood?
No, but the inside of the reinforcement
is graphite.
Yeah.
Instead of steel, like a steel truss rod?
Yeah, steel truss rod.
It still has the steel truss rod?
Yes.
But what does the graphite do?
Graphite is just reinforcement in the side.
Okay, so where is it? I mean, how? Explain a little bit. What, you have the truss rod down the middle.
Yeah, center.
And then where's the graphite?
Graphite is both side.
Of the truss rod?
Yeah. And a little bit help for the bases are moving.
Well, the stability of the neck.
Yeah.
So neck is not shaking.
Right. But I mean, I know that graphite's pretty rigid. Does it still allow you to bow the neck when you adjust the truss rod?
Yeah.
Really. It doesn't hinder it? Because, I mean, I've played, like, I have a graphite neck guitar, and it's like, it's glass. I mean, it's basically glass. Mm-hmm. But that gives you more reinforcement there. How does it affect the sound? Does it give you more sustain, do you think?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
But I used before the steel reinforcement.
Oh, you put steel in from before. Okay.
Sound better, but a little heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So everybody using nice graphite reinforcement. Yeah.
Now this one's full neck. How do you, is this a two-piece mate? Is there like
three-piece.
Three-piece?
Yeah, three-piece mate.
So where, you have like the fretboard is separate? I'm trying to figure out where you went in to put the truss rod. Because I mean, it looks seamless. It doesn't. You can't see us. I mean, you have to really look. It's really beautiful.
Truss rod put in before the
guru. Yeah. So you, this is there's a maple top and then the actual neck. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, that's pretty interesting how that was done. Well, okay. Well. Let's go ahead and try the fretless, and let me do that real quick, and then we'll get into the pedals and start talking a little more about that. Sound. Now, for the fretless, let me ask you a little bit about your experience with the different woods. So yeah, we have a maple neck, we have a rosewood neck, we have an ebony. What do you hear as the difference in the fretboards?
Rosewood is a little high.
A lot of top end?
Right, top end and good mid.
Good mid.
Yeah, and maple is not so much hard, but a very clean, clear tone.
Clear, okay.
Yeah. And ebony is more hard, or the more than hard of the raw root, so very high top presence.
So you have more upper
yes.
harmonics, more yes. timbre to yeah. it.
And more clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. And I use normally the Alder body.
Mm-hmm.
It's more warm.
Right.
Yeah. But player style is different. So Alder is okay, but maybe more punchy sound, like a slap.
Right.
At the time, many people choose on Ash.
So Ash is punchier. Do you guys feel that way? I mean, yours is Ash, right?
This is Ash?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought it was, well, both wouldn't make it. I just like the way it sounds.
I mean the body. We're talking about the body.
Yeah.
So, but the, do you ever use mahogany?
Oh, yeah, I like
how
it.
And how's that sound? How do you classify that?
More mild, but a very deep bass sound.
Mm-hmm.
And but Gibson making a mahogany body, a mahogany neck bass, it's not so good. I think mahogany body and the maple neck is a very good combination.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, very deep bottom and warm sound, more than Alder.
Oh, more warmer and yeah. deeper than Alder.
Yeah, I like it, but many people like it Ash.
Yeah, no, I know. I know Ash is really yeah. popular, but the but it's a warmer the mahogany. Now, do you make mahogany necks?
I try one time, but mahogany neck and the mahogany body, I don't like it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. But I mean, also too, it's a soft wood, so
mm-hmm.
it's. I know from my Gibsons with the mahogany necks,
mm-hmm.
they move. They yeah. don't. You know, you have to adjust them a lot, yeah. especially in different temperatures and stuff.
Sound
like that.
Sound is a little boomy sound.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I have it for guitar, but I mean, as a guitar player, it's a warmer. It's mm-hmm. a different sound depending on what the fretboard is too. Yeah. So. But I've noticed a lot of basses tend to go with maple. The maple seems more stable.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. And many different wood using many other maker. So walnut.
Mm-hmm.
And corina.
Mm-hmm.
And coa. Yeah. So each one is a little different. But I like ash and Alder. We try many different wood, but turning back
mm-hmm.
here is the best.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's consistent. You know what you're getting. Alder and ash seems to be like the regular
yeah.
wet for bases. I mean, that seems to be most common. But have you any other exotic woods that you use?
We're using top wood for the olive and redwood cedar top.
Cedar.
Yeah, and maple bar.
Now, how do those, tell me a little bit, like for cedar, using cedar on there, how does that change the sound?
A little muddy.
Really?
Yeah, because cedar is soft.
Yeah.
Yeah, has a very good high frame, but right. the sound is a little.
It's interesting because I've never.
Resonance not so mm-hmm. responding, it's dull.
Right. Well, the I know cedar is used as the top mainly for a lot of classical guitars.
Right.
So it's a very warm sound, but I've never seen it on a solid body. I've never seen a cedar.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm making now is a 15 strings at MBR from customer's order.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, are you having a problem? Is there a shortage of these woods? I know that rosewood is rare now. I mean, good rosewood. But is there any other alternative woods that you found that are good?
Maybe Parfello and any other Crolax something. Yeah, like rosewood. But
what's Parfello? What is that similar to?
Parfello looks like Indian rosewood, but more stiffy between the ebony and the
Oh, okay, rosewood. But it has the characteristic between
yeah.
And that's for the fretboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And what about for, because for, is there a shortage of swamp ash or ash? Or is there something else that sounds as good as ash? Because a lot of people now are trying to find alternative woods.
Yeah. I like a little heavy ash. It's like everybody, you know, swamp ash is a long board. Top side is a heavy. Bottom side is a light.
Right.
Yeah. So I use top side. Yeah, because light, if you, I use light ash, maybe you play new one, it's a good sound, but not so much bottom sound. But heavy ash, you play first time, not so good, but 2 years, 3 years later, a very good bottom sound come up.
Okay. So yeah. When you break it in and it ages a little bit, it blooms.
Yeah. So maybe Marcus Miller, he's using a 77 jazz bass.
Yeah.
It's a very heavy. But maybe he feel good the bottom sound.
Yeah, so it's coming into, it breaks in and it changes a little bit. Yeah. Now, these guitars, will they change that much or are they pretty, they'll be consistent over 10, 15 years? These type of wood?
I mean, I think this, the bass that I chose, I mean, it's pretty sturdy to me. I mean, I haven't changed the strings on this bass, I think, since I've gotten it. And I've taken this bass on the road, tours, records, everything, and I've not even changed the strings.
Wow.
And it's really the wood.
Right, but I mean, you notice, I mean, obviously, any guitar, and you're going to break it in a little bit by just playing it, but you're noticing not it's not warmer, or it's pretty consistent since day one?
It's very consistent to me.
So,
you know, of course, you know, when I first got it, new strings, everything was a little bit crisp, but then when I broke it in, although the strings age maybe like a year and a half now since I've gotten it, I mean, it's still clear to me.
Right,
know?
Right.
Yeah, it's, you know.
But that's the thing that's interesting, because like a lot of people, like for example, talking to Yamaha, they freeze the wood to age it. They actually age. Mm-hmm. Like we had Billy Sheehan on, and he was talking about how they set it up and aged the guitar. It changes the tone as if you were playing for hours and hours and hours. But one of the things is it locks it, so it never changes once it does that. Mm-hmm. But these basses seem pretty consistent, so you don't see that kind of, well, maybe it's just the solidarity of the wood. You're not an acoustic guitar. You know, the glues change and all that stuff. This is pretty consistent, but I'm that's interesting to note. But even with these woods, that they don't, as they age, it still has
it's
that.
Still there. It's still there. Yeah, I'm not missing anything.
Mm-hmm.
No. So, and I hope it does work. You know, 10, 15 years from now, too.
Yeah, and any guitar and the bass. The new one is not so much vibration, but you play in a ear or something, so got a lot of vibration. Mm-hmm. So many places are tight up, so sound is a little bit change.
Mm-hmm. So as it ages, does the body shrink a little bit? Does the wood shrink?
Body is a good painting. Not so much, but neck is we using oil finish. So maybe this season to February, shrink.
It'll shrink a little bit.
Oh. Yeah. So come out of the fret hood. But maybe May or June, come back.
Oh, you're talking about, okay, so cold.
Yeah.
From cold to warm, it'll change. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, because some guitars... The glues, especially depends on the glues, like semi-hollows or even like my Les Paul, the glue changes over the years and it changes the tone of the guitar as it's, I don't know how to describe it, but I know in acoustic guitars, it shrinks, the glue shrinks.
Mm-hmm.
So it changes the sound of the bracing and especially an acoustic steel string or something. Mm-hmm. But also it does affect like a Les Paul or something, even though it's solid, though now a lot of them are chambered, it does that. But the now, do you have you ever chambered any of the bodies?
Yeah. Yes.
What do you think about that? What does that do?
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like.
I mean, besides it making it lighter, does it? How much? How does it affect the tone in your experience?
More air. I feel more air on the long sustain.
More sustain?
Yeah. So, yeah, I won't make more, but customize not so much.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Last time I make it, hollow one is a little thick body, the deep air pocket.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah, so more.
A deeper hole body.
Yeah, body, yeah.
And then you chambered it.
Yeah.
What do you guys, let me throw it to you guys. What do you think about that?
I don't have a lot of experience with chambered bodies. I think Sadowski bases, they do it, but mainly for the weight.
Yeah, you know, that's mostly right.
Not necessarily because of the sound, but I do think that it's definitely affecting the sound in some ways. Yeah.
Okay.
This is my first time hearing about this, the chambered wood thing. You know, I'm not the person to ask about, like, wood and stuff like that, you know, but all I know, like he was saying, like, how the wood, I guess, like, how age and stuff like that. With this, I mean, I can't speak for those bases, but I know with this one, like I said, I've had this one, like, going on 2 years now, and through the seasons, it's been pretty consistent with me, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people, like he was saying, you use the heavier part of the swamp. Or the ash, mm-hmm. And a lot of guitar players, especially as they get older, like myself, they complain about the weight.
Yeah,
they complain. My Les Paul's heavy. Everybody who plays it now complains about it's too heavy. It's too heavy. Mm-hmm. So it is an issue, and a lot of these guys that are gigging a lot, mm-hmm. it gets there. They can't handle it. It hurts. So. I get it. I understand. It's usually for weight reasons, mm-hmm. but it can, depending on the where you place the route, where you put the hole in there or whatever, the chamber, it can affect it. Now, let me ask you that, since you've been experimenting with that. Pull this guitar up for a second. Where would you chamber it? How does it affect the sound? If you chambered here or here, how would it affect the tone?
I use it every time it's here,
mm-hmm.
here. And this place is almost...
Yeah, it is chambered because of electronics.
Yeah. Yeah. So, almost big important things are this place. Yeah, has a more deep, good bottom sound coming.
So
here.
If you chamber over there,
yeah.
it tends, in the lower bout near where the pickups are, mm-hmm. it resonates more, yeah. which makes sense because there's more area.
Mm-hmm.
So you can... Right. It's a bit, the bigger the chamber, the lower the frequency. Yeah. What about up by the neck here? What does that do?
This one is just weight.
Weight issue. So it doesn't, so that side, the other side is where it would affect the sound the most.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because this body thickness make a chamber, not so much air pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So I make a deep body.
A deeper body.
It's better.
Yeah, but how did the bass players react to that? Do they mind the deeper body?
No, they want the more good chamber body, chamber sound.
Right.
So I make it a little deeper one. He like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially like for example with the fretless, I would think it would be closer to emulating an upright, which is what most people want to try to get out of the fretless, is that upright bass sound.
Right.
You know, so yeah, that's true. That's very interesting. But so I could see that making it a little bigger
mm-hmm.
would make that, would be more. But no, that's interesting how that works. But now we're almost out of time. I told you we'd go by fast. Let's talk about these guys. So first, let's talk about this compressor limiter. I'm going to kind of stick it near the camera so you guys can see what he has here. So tell us a little bit about the development of this.
Uh-huh. So we tried to make in a warm and clear compressor. Any other compressor I tried before, not so much clean.
Right.
Yeah, like the sound. So I terminate the sound. So a little more different for, we have a two PC port inside. Yeah. So one is a signal, and one is a power.
Mm-hmm.
So we go into the 9 volt.
Mm-hmm.
We up to the inside of the 15 volt.
Oh, so you have a step-up converter up in in the box.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Now we use a little large and expensive one. But it's very good.
So you were, so this, by doing that, you're getting a fuller range sound. You get more bottom. For the compressors, well, I've noticed even with guitars, using just rack mount big, you know, right. the good stuff. When you compress, especially if you're hitting it pretty hard, you lose it, you perceive, even though it's pretty well transparent, you'll notice, I notice the top end goes. So I usually have to boost on the board. And but you're saying on compression, when you've heard compressors on bass, you'll lose some of the bottom besides the top?
This one?
No, no, from others.
Yeah, a little bit.
So your circuit allows it to still be deep. I mean, it's pretty deep. We've been hearing it already, you guys playing it. So the circuit set it so you get the full range.
Yes.
And this is set up basically, this is set up for bass. Or no. Can you use it for guitar?
He uses an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, I think it sounds great for guitar. So I think it's definitely interchangeable for bass or guitar. I mean, I play mainly guitar, and that thing sounds fabulous. It's like Hiro was saying, it's more wide open sounding than your average guitar compressor. They do get a bit nasally, average guitar compressor, I think. They'll just squeeze a little bit of the tone out. That thing's very transparent. It's a big, beautiful sound on acoustic, on electric. It's interchangeable. Yeah.
No, I know, well, like, for example, the Dynacomp, which was a standard,
sure.
It definitely changed the sound of your guitar. It was basically
an effect.
A complete part of Larry Carlton's early tone was that compressor. But what I want to know is, since you've been using this a lot, especially on acoustic guitar, you were saying?
Yeah.
Now, using how does this compare to, like, some of those professional, well, not professional, but onboard compressors, like the Universal Electronics? Because there's now pedals that emulate some of these original studio rack mount ones.
Bro, yeah.
Which are really clean.
I don't know if I have a lot of experience with those, but I have a couple other compressor pedals at home, and I have some rack mount gear too. And that is, it's definitely leaning towards the cleaner side, the rack mount gear. And I think that's just because, like Hiro was saying, it's just upping the voltage in there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take away from any of the dynamics when you use it. So
right.
It's, I have a couple other compressor pedals. I don't want to say the names, but it's definitely more wide open sounding than those.
Right. Well, it seems to me by increasing the voltage, you get more headroom. The headroom is the key.
A lot more headroom.
That gives you a little more.
Yeah, for sure.
What would make it sound clearer, so you're not, it's not squishing your frequencies too. You still have dynamic within the unit. The unit's compressing, but there's still, it's not the circuit distorting, so to speak. Not in terms of clipping, but you know what I'm talking
Sometimes
about.
Sometimes hard to hear, but when you play with it, you feel it. You feel that compressor for sure.
Yeah.
And it's, that's just a style of compressor that I think it is that you feel it. And it's also got a really nice clean boost on there. I mean, you can boost for days.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So it's it's very clean from in and out. The circuit is very clean.
Yeah.
Yes, very cool.
But it does
I got to hear this with acoustic guitar.
It will limit too. And it is a compressor limiter. And it does limit. If you really push it, you'll hear it just taper off and limit too. So
it just naturally does, because I don't see a limit function on here. It just naturally will stop.
Yeah, if you push it hard enough, you'll hear it. It'll start to limit.
But it doesn't. Will it limit before it breaks up?
Yeah, it will. I've pushed it pretty hard. I never heard it really break up too bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. That's why I call it transparent.
Okay.
That's how I hear it in my head. It's very transparent pedal.
No, that's good if it does, if it limits before it clips.
Yeah.
Because most of them, I've been able to distort them.
I've clipped tons of compressor pedals.
Yeah, I mean, and some of them becomes a sound. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
There's some, you can buy some pedals that are basically a compressor circuit that they just overdrove.
Okay.
So, well, let's talk a little bit about the K3. So tell us a little more about this guy.
Okay, this one is a DI, inside of the transformer, and a very, very clean and warm sound. But this preamplifier, not so much color, no distortion.
Very transparent. Okay.
So because now is a many bass has a preamplifier inside. Mm-hmm. So we try to make in this one, you make a sound with a bass. After that, this one, just no color, but just this push the bass, mid, treble.
Right. So your bass, so you're getting the bass going into the, so using this for, in the studio, for example, you're getting the, what that bass sounds like if you plugged it, if you could plug it direct into the board. Exactly. It's what it is. So if you're going to do anything, any distortion or anything like that, you need to add that in there.
Right.
And I think you have, there's an effects loop set circuit in here, so you can put in whatever pedal or whatever you want in there. And with the knobs straight up the way they are right now, it's flat, right?
Yeah.
So it's cut and boost for the frequencies. And these bass, middle, mid-frequency, treble, those are all, they're contoured for bass, right?
Yes.
So it's not really, it's not for guitar.
Not guitar, yeah.
Now, what about the gain? So you have a gain and a volume. So you can overdrive this?
No.
Okay, so what's the function of the gain compared to the volume?
Gain just feels sound is more flat.
Mm-hmm.
But no distortion.
No distortion. Mm-hmm. So it's... So this is like, this is the output of the preamp before this DI stage, right?
Yeah.
So the volume controls the DI section, and the gain is the actual preamp section.
Gain can push an amp a little bit harder, so you're getting a little bit more like a warmer, growly, some kind of tone with the amount of the gain. But you don't really get it like on the distortion overdrive.
Yeah, my question was if it... changes the character when you push more gain into it. You know what I mean?
Just try that one. Plug it in right now.
Yeah, maybe.
Go ahead and play first.
Can I play the five?
Yeah. Let me mute you real quick. Okay, go ahead. So what they're talking about right now is that the gain stage, as you bring it up, it doesn't color the sound. It's not distorting the circuit. It's a clean boost all the way up. Okay, there you go. Now, I'm going to bring your volume down because I'm going to turn this up a little bit. So I have him down a little bit. So I'm not hearing... I mean, it's getting punchier because I'm turning the gain up, but it's... That's up almost full blast. Now I'm breaking up the speakers on my headphones. But it's consistent. Now I'm going to go down. Now I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to adjust the treble. I'm going to go up and down. So I'm at flat right now. Keep playing. That's all the way up. Okay, it's flat again, and it has a detent, which is very cool. Now I'm going to cut the treble out. That's all the top end. Now here's the middle, and it's straight up. I'm going to boost it, and I'm going to sweep it. And now I'm going to cut it. Thank you. can hear it. Okay, I'm back to flat. Now I'm going to go to the bass. Keep going. Boosting the bass. And I'm rolling it back. The frequencies are very musical. They're very, very, very cool. And it has a switch for the EQ in and out. It's out right now. It's in again. And then there's a EQ. There's a switch for the loop that sends to the effects loop. So you have a regular... Is this balanced out, this output? Is this a balanced output here? The quarter inch?
It's a regular.
Just a regular, like, so it goes right into a guitar amp.
Yeah.
And then right now what we're using is the Canon or the...
XLR
connector direct out.
Which is balanced.
Yes, which is a balanced output. So that's going into the board right now. So that's what we're using right now. So this is this is really clean. It really is. It's dramatic. I mean, that's good because the thing that's nice about it is you can bring in whatever pedal or whatever you want to use and into the picture. You can do it with an effects pedal. So you can make it dirty if you want, but it'll go right in and it'll drive the amp, and still you can run into the PA clean.
Yeah.
And this one is a mid-frequency. This one is you can boost
the volume of the frequency.
And you can seamless all the...
Yeah, no, I boosted cut it. You could hear the difference. It scoops it pretty well.
Any other pedal is maybe switching. So maybe 400, 800.
Okay.
Yeah, but this one is seamless. You can.
What's the treble at? Do you know the frequency of the where it's boosting for the treble?
It's
like 1,000 or less than or 2,000, 2K, 1K.
I forgot it.
If it's high, sorry. It's probably 70 to 10.
Yeah.
Right.
Would it be that high? I wasn't hearing it, but it's hard to tell.
Right.
I mean, 10K, there's not a lot up on a bass for that. That's why I'm wondering.
I'll tell you. Yeah, about 7 to 10, I would say.
But it's more growly.
Right.
You don't really hear it. You kind of feel it more.
Yeah. And then do you know what the frequency roughly for the bass control?
No. It's the bass.
No, I mean, it's we're techies here, engineer.
And this frequency, this switch is maybe...
That's a high low. I'm on low. Let me turn it on high. Okay, I'm going to flatten it back out again and keep playing. You can hear the difference. That's more like a lower. The low one hits the mids a little more. That's nice. That's a nice little switch. So he has a high frequency switch on there.
So really easy to use for single coil on the humbucking.
Yeah, I see where you're going with it. And it handles a lot of level going in. It's pretty clean. It's pretty tolerant in terms of, because these basses have a lot of output. They're active. So it'll work just as well with passive and active. It doesn't matter. Because that's another thing I was going to ask you. With an active preamp like that, what you got, and you guys can chime in too. Mm-hmm. Using an active preamp, which has a lot of gain, it's like double, is it overkill? But it isn't. It seems like it's...
Still musical. Still sounds good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously you would use it for the eye, which is the most important, at least for us on stage, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is a great unit. And if you have a pedal board, it's perfect because you can either through the effects loop or you can run your whole pedal board into the input and it's all clean. You know this thing is going to be clean and transparent. So whatever you use on your pedal board, it'll get that and it'll all go into the board and everything. So these, before we're out of time, I knew we would be out of time. I told you we'd go by real fast. Anyway, you can get all of these stuff over at the Amp Shop Bass Exchange. And I'm going to ask Gary, if they mention All About Guitar, what they can
get extra 10% off.
10% off on everything?
Just mention today's show, preamp and pedals and compressor, and also on the basses.
On the basses.
Yeah.
So, and throw in the guitars too if you have some of the guitars, because they make the guitars too. So I just want to thank you so much for coming down here. These instruments are amazing. The craftsmanship is impeccable. And I think that you can tell by these players that, you know, by that these are great instruments. And you guys are, I want to thank you guys for coming down and playing the basses, because it's really amazing.
Yeah, that's what happens.
So, and of course, Gary, for putting this all together. The website is www.miuraguitars.com. Take a look at everything, and you can contact them and talk to them about stuff. And then also, too, at the Amp Shop Bass Exchange, they're very good at talking. You know, they'll go through it with you and figure out what you want. Because one of the things here is these guys build to order almost. There's a lot of factors in these basses. You can see the different configurations. So what type of bridge you want, the type of pickups, whether you want the Miura preamp or the whatever, the Aguilar preamp, all of that has an effect on the sound. So you really need to think it out for when you buy one of these basses, so that you get exactly what you want. And even the choice of the woods, you got a little bit of an idea of the type of woods and stuff and the sounds. All of that is important. But either talking to Hiro and his company directly, or Nathan, I guess you're the one that takes the calls.
Oh, no.
But anyway, but also too, Gary's very knowledgeable. So if you have a question, you can just go to give them the information for the Amp Shop Bass Exchange, the number or whatever.
818-386-5500.
Okay.
Bassexchange.com.
Bassexchange.com. So you can, either way, you can contact the web, Miura, or Gary, and talk about it and figure out what you want. And they're pretty much made to order. So anyway, we're out of time. Thank you guys so much. I can play us out, or do you want to just do something? Do you want to? I'll let you. I only have one preamp, so I can't have you guys jam. But go ahead and just give me a little thing for about an hour. Everybody, have a great night. We will see you next week.